Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 110. And we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Jehovah." And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before Jehovah and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against Jehovah." And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto Jehovah our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And I'll stop reading there. Now, we're specifically looking into verse 5. Samuel is continuing his address to Israel as the Lord has moved him to speak unto all the house of Israel and to exhort them to return unto God with all their hearts, putting away the strange gods, the idols, from among them, including Ashtoreth. And we saw in our last study how Ashtoreth was one of the gods of the Philistines, and so the Lord was indicating, put away these gods and serve him only. And you know, the God has been very clear about this all through the scriptures, that he does help his people and he often delivers them when they are obedient, when they are faithful, when they look to him as the Savior and Deliverer, and not to other sources, not to other gods. And here again, God is encouraging Israel to trust him and to look to him only, exclusively, and none other. And he is moving Samuel to gather Israel together to renew a covenant with them. And actually, Samuel now is beginning to fulfill officially his role as judge of Israel. And we'll look at that a little bit later as we have that word judge within this passage and several times within this chapter. God is emphasizing that. But first, we want to look at Mizpah. This is where the Lord had them to gather. "Gather all Israel to Mizpah," said in verse 5, "and I will pray for you unto Jehovah." Well, what about this word Mizpah? What can we learn from it as we look more closely to it? Well, we can see that this word translated as Mizpah here is identical to a word found in Isaiah 21 in verse 8. And I'll read the verse. "And he cried, A lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights." The word watchtower is a translation in English of the same Hebrew word, identical spelling as the word Mizpah. And we'll see that this is a good understanding of this word. A watchman stands on the watchtower to watch and to see. And that's actually, when we examine the history of Mizpah, we'll find that that has everything to do with that place. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 31 and beginning in verse 43. Now, the situation there is that Jacob has just fled Laban. He has been in the house of Laban for 40 years. He went there when he was 60. Jacob is now 100 years old. It's the year 1907 BC. And he is leaving with enormous numbers of flocks of sheep and cattle. And he's leaving with his wives and his children. And he left without telling Laban, because Laban was the type of man that would have prevented him from going and would have changed the deal that they had entered into to take away the cattle. He has done this in the past. He changed Jacob's wages. Jacob set himself 10 times, it said in verse 41. So Jacob didn't trust Laban at all. And so he fled when Laban was not aware, and he had a 3-day head start. But since he was traveling with cattle, with the flocks, and with young children, he couldn't move very quickly. And Laban, traveling with his sons and probably some servants, all men, could gain ground on Jacob very, very fast. And he overtook him in Mount Gilead. And that's where we find this encounter in verse 43 of Genesis chapter 31. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto these unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee." And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jeger Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and thee this day." Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mitzpah. For he said, "Jehovah watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee." And I'll stop reading there. So we see that they meet in Mount Gilead, and notice that Jacob called this place where they were making this covenant Galeed. Now, that word Galeed is found twice in verses 47 and 48, and only here in the Old Testament. It's not found anywhere else, but it is very closely related. Galeed is 1567 in the Strong's Concordance. It is very closely related to Gilead. Gilead is 1568, and this is Mount Gilead where Laban overtook Jacob. So we would be safe to understand this is basically the same word. And notice, therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mitzpah. So Mitzpah and Galeed or Gilead are one and the same. Were very closely identified. They could be two names for the same place. And as we found out earlier with Mitzpah, with that identical Hebrew word being translated as watchtower, notice what it says here in verse 49. "And Mitzpah, for he said, Jehovah watch between me and thee." That is, let's call this place Mitzpah because here Jehovah is watching between us. Jehovah is witness to this covenant that we are making. And once again, we see that Mitzpah completely identifies with watching. That's what an individual does in a watchtower. And here, Mitzpah got its name because Jehovah watch between me and thee. Well, let's go back to our verses, to our passage in 1 Samuel 7, and look at verse 6. "And they gathered together to Mitzpah, and drew water, and poured it out before Jehovah, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mitzpah." So here, the Israelites have gathered together at Samuel's call in Mitzpah, And that's because they're going to renew the covenant. It's the always the same covenant that God makes with his people. It is, obey me, keep my law, do my commandments, be faithful to the things that I say. The covenant never changes, and that's the covenant of law, a covenant that that all are bound and obligated to keep, and a covenant that none actually do keep because we are sinners. And so God made covenant after covenant with Israel. They would sin, they would transgress, and then they would get together and say, now we'll keep the law of God, now we'll do things his way. And they would sometimes bind themselves with a curse in the sense that they have entered into the covenant of keeping the law of God. And yes, it's true that God, of course, wants people to obey him and keep his commandments, but he wants understanding as well. And the proper thing for Israel, just like the proper thing for any individual, is to realize, O Lord, O Father, yes, I know that you command me to do many things in your word, and I'll try to fulfill these things and obey them as best as I'm able, but I also know I'll fail. I cannot adequately, let alone perfectly, obey your commandments because I'm a sinner. And I have transgressed the law of God, and I cannot keep it with a perfect heart. Oh, Lord, help me, have mercy on me, and give me a new heart, a new spirit that is able to perfectly keep your word in all points. You see, the law has always been given to show us the necessity of a Savior. The law has never been there in order for man to keep it and enter into a right relationship with God through it, because it is impossible. It's impossible to maintain and to keep perfect obedience on all the points of the law. And so we need desperately a Savior, and that's what each covenant was designed to do, was to show Israel, to show each individual man that we need someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us in order to fulfill the covenant that God has established. Well, they gather together to Mitzvah to renew the covenant. And notice it says in verse 6 that they drew water and poured it out before Jehovah. Now, they probably had a bucket and a well, and they lowered the bucket, filled it with water from the well, and lifted it out of the well, and then poured it out. We don't, maybe on an altar or how, wherever they did it, they poured it out before the Lord. It was an offering of some type to God. And we wonder, well, what is the purpose behind this? How do we really understand this? What is the spiritual meaning of this? And like everything in the Bible, in order to get the answer to our question, we have to go somewhere else. We have to compare spiritual things with spiritual and allow God to define his terms, to add insight into the things we're reading. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. And here we're going to find an unusual account of the mighty men of David. And it says in verse 14, I'll read verses 14 through 17. It says there, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto Jehovah. And he said, Be it far from me, O Jehovah, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Now, that ends that little tidbit, that little historical account of a situation in really a battlefield. David was in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. The Philistines, of course, were the enemies of Israel, and David longed. Oh, he wanted a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. He was familiar with that place, and just like we might think of a nice cool drink that we've had in the past, David was longing for that. They probably were in circumstances where maybe they didn't have that much water. Maybe the water wasn't as clean or as pure or as cool as the water in the well of Bethlehem. For whatever reason, David longed, and he was letting his desire be known. He said it out loud, obviously, because as a result of this longing, the three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. The same well, the same location that David was longing for. And they took it and brought it to David. Here you go, King. What faithful men. What wonderful servants he had. No wonder these were mighty men. They risked their lives. They entered into the Philistine stronghold. The Philistines had a garrison in Bethlehem, and they could have easily been killed. But in order to satisfy the desire of their king, they wanted to please him. They took their lives in their own hands just for this water, and they brought it back successfully. We don't know how they carried it or how much. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they brought it to the king. Here you are. You have what you desired. And you could imagine that these men probably had smiles on their faces as they handed David the water. And they were eagerly waiting for him to take a drink of the cool water and to have his desire satisfied. But he didn't do that. He would not drink. But instead, he took the water and he poured it out unto Jehovah. Now, maybe they didn't know initially why he would do that kind of a thing. And they could have been shocked, and they might have even thought themselves, hey, we just risked our lives. We just entered into the enemy territory to find you this water, and we brought it back because you wanted it. You were the one who said this, and now you're pouring it out? Of course, this is all speculation. We don't have a record of them saying any of this, but it would be a natural reaction. People like to at least be acknowledged for the things that they do that are in an attempt to help someone and to please someone. But here their king pours it out. And David says in verse 17, Be it far from me, O Jehovah, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. So historically, David is not disregarding. He's not dismissing their effort as nothing. Actually, he's doing the opposite. He's indicating to them and to the Lord, look what you did. You risked your lives to bring me this water, and therefore this water has tremendous value. And it is so valuable, I would not dare drink it. No, this is something that belongs to the Lord. And so he pours it out unto the Lord. It becomes an offering unto the Lord. And that water is likened to the blood of those men because they went in jeopardy of their lives. And the Bible tells us the life is in the blood. It was, in a sense, a sacrifice that those men made. Well, that's the historical situation, but what is the spiritual meaning? You know, the Bible is a mystery book. And if we just learn the history, if we only learn the facts of what we're reading, then we've not solved the mystery. The puzzle remains a puzzle. And we always have to look for the spiritual meaning, the deeper spiritual meaning. And only when we find it can we say, well, now we understand what God is saying here. Now we realize why God placed this in the Bible, because the Bible is only concerned with the gospel. God isn't concerned about little historical situations like this on their own. There's millions upon millions of them, each one equal to another. But the Lord picked and chose these types of situations so he could paint a picture of the gospel. Well, to begin with, in order for us to understand this, we have to realize that David is a type of Christ. David is longing and saying, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So David is a picture of Christ. What is the water of the well? Well, the Bible likens water to the gospel itself, the water of life, the water that an individual drinks, and it pictures salvation. And actually, the well, it says in Isaiah chapter 12, and we'll only read verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So the water in the well of Bethlehem is a representation of salvation. That's clear once we tie in the Bible's definition of these words and ideas. But how can David, a type of Christ, long for a drink of the water of the well? If we're following through with that, that would be like Christ longing for salvation. But he didn't need a Savior. He was the Savior. So we have a problem. How could the Lord Jesus, typified here by David, be thirsty and want a drink from the well? And the well typifies, again, salvation. Well, the answer is found in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 25. And it says in verse 35, I'll read verses 34 and 35. And this is when the Lord is separating the sheep from the goats. And it says in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. See, this is the king. This is the Lord Jesus who is speaking. And Jesus is saying, I was thirsty, just like David longed for a drink. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. And this is a commendation. This is the blessing upon the sheep. The elect are the ones in view that are being heralded as God is saying, come, blessed ones. Because I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Now, you might be confused how that's possible, that Jesus could be thirsty. And so were the elect here. And they actually asked the question in Verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And then the response comes in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Well, now we have the answer. Now we have the solution to the puzzle, where David, yes, is a type of Christ, but when he longs for a drink, that, as Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, yet what he meant was his brethren, the body of Christ, all the children of God that have been scattered throughout the generations, all over the earth, in every nation. They are thirsting after righteousness because God has made them thirsty. They're not satisfied with the way of the world. They don't find solace or comfort or satisfaction in the world's path, in the way that the world is heading. They find no real joy in the things of the earth because God is not allowing them to find that kind of satisfaction. He has given them a greater thirst for himself. And so that's what's in view here when David is longing for a drink. And the three mighty men, they break through the ranks of the Philistines and they draw water out of the well of Bethlehem. Who would the three mighty men represent? Well, they have to typify the people of God. And the people of God carry the gospel into the world. They bring the water of life, the water of the word, to the various lands. And in those lands are the thirsty souls, and they receive the gospel. And that's what's in view here as they draw water out of the well. And again, that well represents salvation. They draw water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. But we still have a question. We still have a difficulty. And we'll have to look at this more when we get together for our next study.